Welcome to Insights for Manufacturing, the podcast that supports the UK manufacturing sector. Hosted by Jeff Beecham, the manufacturer's recruiter. Hello and welcome to Insights for Manufacturing. Welcoming my guest today, Charlie Allen, who is Lead Project Manager at Automate Best. Welcome to the show, Charlie. How are you today?
Thank you for having me. I'm much better than I have been recently, but I'm all good now.
Good. Good. Glad to hear it. And you and I met over at the Wallington office at Automate UK 2 or 3 months ago. I think, we were at the Automation UK exhibition as well. So there's lots of exciting stuff going on both within Automate UK and Automate Best, which we're here to talk about today. So to start off with then, Charlie, can you tell the audience a little bit about Automate Best and really what its mission is in supporting apprentices within the Automate UK member companies?
So basically, Automate Best is an acronym for Business Education Skills and Training. And what we're here is to basically take apart some of the barriers that apprentices and young people may feel in entering manufacturing engineering in our industry. Okay. So we do that through a variety of different things, but mainly our mission is firstly to get them aware of the industry, because a lot of them don't know.
Yeah.
The second mission is to then obviously get them into the industry. And then our third mission, which is more one that I've kind of brought on being at Automate Best, is to then showcase the apprentices that we do have and to celebrate them and to use them as role models for step one and step two. So it becomes a full circle moment.
Fantastic.
So that's basically what it is in a nutshell.
Okay. And it's always good for, the new sort of cohort coming in to learn from, from previous people and learn from those experiences. So I know you support apprentices and your member businesses. So I know there are grants and bursary awards available. How do you make all that happen and ensure that they're sort of successful?
No, I mean, it's hard because one of the main situations that we've had is no one knows we exist. It's not a case of knowing the industry exists. No one knows that Automate Best exists. I mean, we were a different name beforehand. We were PPMA Best beforehand, but it seemed to be that only a few people knew about us. So the main thing right now is obviously brand awareness, which is why I do things like this.
Yep.
to spread the word, why we're at shows all over the country, and why I personally do visits to member companies to try and raise that awareness. And also on top of that, it's then getting the word of mouth around, because, I can only go to certain places and we can only reach certain people, but somebody may listen to this or they may go to a show and then they'll be like, oh, I met this crazy chick at a show and she was talking about these grants and bursaries for Automate UK member. You're an Automate UK member as well, aren't you? Well, maybe you should look into it.
Yeah.
It's all about at the moment it is about just raising the awareness, raising the game, and also if it means making a mockery of myself or then that's fine. Like this week with the blooper reel on LinkedIn, if that's what's going to make it happen, that's what's going to make it happen.
All for the cause,
and it did very, very well. So
so how long have you been with the organization? Because I know it sort of started in 2014, and there's bound to have been lots of different changes, improvements, but how long have you been with Automate Best, and what sort of changes have you seen?
Surprising for most people, I've only been with them since the 8th of January this year. I have made a joke, one of the Automate UK awards this year is lifetime achievement, and I do feel like I should be in that category just for these 8 months. But it's, if you can imagine, well, I've got five trustees who I call the Fab Five.
Yeah.
And, PPMA Best as it was started in 2014, so it started 10 years ago, and it started with Ian Jardine, who's the accountant. I call him Money Man for obvious reasons. And Richard Little, obviously from Genton, who is also the show director for PPMA shows, and is basically the spokesperson for Best. And then in 2017, they expanded to include Gary Wiles, who was from Festo, and John Clayton from Newman Labeling. And they are wonderful, calm presence in the field.
Because you definitely need that, right?
Oh, we need that. We need that. And then recently, last year, they brought on Tim Paul, who was from Domino, into the mix. So that is my Fab Five. They are my five bosses. And through, as they were slowly expanded, so I've, you know, they had grants going out every year, and they were, you know, going at a steady pace, but they wanted, as well as Automate UK, wanted to inject a bit of oomph into Best so that it could basically help more people. And their process was to think of, oh, we need somebody who actually can do this full time. And they put this into a 3-year plan. They took a year to find me, but they eventually found me. I had my first interview in November of 23, and then a second interview in the boardroom with everybody all there, and me having a cold. It was raining. I looked like a wet fox. It was a whole situation in December. And the next day Richard called me at 9 a.m. and was like, would you like the job? And I'm like, yes, please, thank you.
Fantastic.
So then when I came on, even just that little bit from November to December, Automate UK obviously changed names.
Yes.
And they had a real overhaul of the website, everything. Because I remember going into the first, you know, into my interview and saying, there's no robots on your website. You're a robot, people.
Yeah.
Why are there no robots? And so they were already kind of overhauling internally anyway.
Yeah.
And then obviously now in the eight months that I've been there, which does honestly feel like a lifetime, you know, we've gone from, say, 20 followers on LinkedIn. We're now in the 200, you know, 250 mark-ish. We are hitting, I think James mentioned before, it's gone up like 1,000%, like all of our social media stuff, because, you know, we're being active on there.
Yeah.
We have a newsletter that goes out to 150 young people in the Midlands, which didn't exist before. We have the Best Club. So we have interaction in amongst our apprentices that are currently in the mix, which again didn't have before, and the trustees get to meet the apprentices, which didn't happen before. And
Brilliant.
it's not because it couldn't be done, it's just that the Fab Five, you know, they had other things going on. They had their own jobs, they were doing it, so it wasn't, they weren't able to give their all to it, so they gave their baby to me, and I'm trying to look after it, essentially.
Well, and you're doing that with some vigor and passion and charisma, and I think that's exactly what you need for the job you're doing. You know, it's quite a tough thing, but it sounds like you're making some you know, really good progress. Nothing happens overnight, of course, but with all the rest of the stuff that's been changing at Automate UK, it's a really exciting time, and I'm always passionate about trying to get more youngsters into manufacturing and engineering anyway. And this is the sort of techie end of that, you know, automation, robotics, what's not to like. So great. I think they've landed on the right person for the job. Talking about the apprentices then, have you got any sort of standout or unusual or, you know, really interesting sort of examples of somebody that's gone through one of the programs that you've been involved in and how it sort of made a difference for them?
I can say, I mean, we've obviously, some of the earlier young people that got grants. A couple of them are now, senior managers. A couple of them
Wow.
are design engineers, installation engineers, and they still are at the companies, which is really great.
Brilliant.
Because that's half, basically, the point of an apprentice is that you would hope is that they stay within the company and go through the motions.
Yeah, retain the knowledge.
Exactly. Which is amazing. And every time I meet any of them at any show, so I went to MPAC in February and I was just going through member companies just introducing myself, and this young lad said, "Oh yes, I got a grant like a couple of years ago." And I was like, "That's amazing. What are
Yeah.
you doing now?" All this type of stuff. And then I grabbed Richard Little, who was at the show, and I was like, "Come and meet this kid that you gave money. Look,
Yeah, yeah.
look what it's done." I really champion the showcase of how amazing the apprentices, both now apprentices and former apprentices,
Sure.
and ones that are just about to start as well. So I mean, we have wonderful examples, like even just this past year. I'm a big champion of Catherine, who's at Scorpion. I mean, she hasn't even technically started her studies. She starts her studies in September,
Yeah.
as a machine, and she's currently a machine vision apprentice. And
Great.
yeah, she started, but she started at Scorpion way back in November. I went and visited her and the rest of the Scorpion team in February, and we did a whole filming section and things like that. And then literally a month later, she was up with us in Milton Keynes at the National Apprentice Show. And while she was there, she was like, "I'm enjoying talking to kids, but I want to show them what I do. I'm trying to explain to them what I do, but they can't see it." So come the
Yeah.
MAC show, in April, she had created an entire project to show at MAC. So
Brilliant.
she coded this cobot to use a 3D camera to pick up items and put it in height order, and she was able to confidently say exactly what was going on, what was happening. And bear in mind, she's only been doing it 6 months,
Yeah.
and I just was there like a proud mum, just like, "Oh my gosh, this is crazy." And I was just like, "Here, talk to Catherine. Everybody talk to Catherine. Look how amazing she is. She hasn't even started properly yet."
Yeah,
So
that's
yeah, but that
amazing.
was
It's great to have these examples, these shining beacons, if you like, for other youngsters to, hopefully follow suit and, come into manufacturing, automation, robotics, all of these exciting things. So, in terms of your services, then, Automate Best, how do you sort of tailor them to to meet the needs of the apprentices and the member companies, because it's sort of like, I imagine it is a bit of a sort of joining up job.
absolutely. And it's difficult, obviously, because some of our members are super small and some of them are very, very large. And especially, and I'll go be honest, I do not, well, it's probably very plain to see, I do not come from the industry at all. I come from an education background, former trained teacher and all this jazz, and working with special needs and stuff. So I don't know technical stuff. Every day is a science day for me working in this job. But everyone's been really lovely in teaching me stuff, and I've really enjoyed it. But one thing that I've been very proactive in doing is listening. I think that's probably something that often a lot of people not necessarily take for granted, but they kind of forget that that is a skill that is necessary. Whether you are small or whether you're big, whatever you have to say is absolutely valid. Whether that is a criticism of whatever it is that you're offering, or whatever it is that they want to do. If they want to do a particular something and they want you to roll it out to everybody, but it's not going to work out, you go, "Okay, well, I'll take that on board and I'll get back to you with, something back." So I do, obviously, for every single one, I always say it's active listening is the key
Yes.
thing. And then the second thing, whenever you're working with apprentices and young people, compromise and adapting
Yeah.
are the two biggest things.
Yeah.
Most of you who have children, That is probably the same thing. I have Jingxi the dog, and it's the same thing. It's compromise and adapting to every situation, and not because one size does not fit all. And it's exactly the same with the services that we provide. Obviously, we have our set things. So obviously, we have the virtual STEM days that we offer for schools. We have obviously the grants. So we've got the normal 1,000. We've got the employer 2,000 one for your first apprentice, and then we have the bursaries for undergrad and also for your HNC and HND. So those are like our standards, but then we have other bits and pieces that we have that we can tailor. So for example, as we know, the government will fund apprentices for under 20-year-olds. Now, an apprentice doesn't have to be under 20, they can be over 20, they can be, 60, 80, that doesn't matter what how old they are. But some companies are like, I don't want to take someone over 20 because I can't afford it and the government won't pay for it. Well, come talk to us because we've managed to work with GlaxoSmithKline and also the West Midlands Combined Authority, where there's a thing called an apprenticeship levy transfer, where bigger companies, like for example GlaxoSmithKline, will transfer their levy that they've not spent over for somebody who's over 20. And again, so that's tailored to, and that will be tailored to a certain criteria, and it's the same for the West Midlands Combined Authority, other ones that we're in discussions with to kind of help with that as well. But again, that all stems from the very beginning of active listening, right? What is it that you need? What are you seeking from us? And then from there, I'll be like, okay, this is what I can actually do and give to you and achieve. This is the stuff that I will signpost you to some. If I can't do it, I'll give you somebody else. I'll signpost you to whoever. But that's kind of the thing.
So it's a bit of a bespoke approach, and I mean the levy transfer is a good idea. I haven't got any stats on it to hand at the moment, but I'm sure probably not all the businesses that can do it actually do it. And I think the new government are looking at some new sort of style of apprenticeship levy, aren't they? I think, so who knows what that's going to look like moving forward. But so you're doing some fantastic work, lots of changes, lots of energy. It sounds like there's been lots of successes as well. Yeah, so it's about creating a higher level of visibility, isn't it, for Automate Best and getting the brand out there and the range of services that you provide. What's the sort of eligibility criteria then for, most of the, apprenticeship schemes that you're involved with?
It couldn't be easier. Okay, get your list and your pen out. You just need to be an Automate UK member. That's that
Right.
is that's it.
So that's it. So it's
That's it.
any of your members
Yeah,
can get support.
it's like I can't stress how easy it is because I think part of the delulu that's been brought out is because the government try like putting loads of obstacles, and generally people think, nothing comes for free. Well, guess what? I do if you're an Automate UK member. Like,
And currently there's about 570 members, is that right?
I heard 600.
Ah, I'm a few out. Okay.
I think 600, 650. That's usually what I've been told.
Okay.
I don't know.
Great. Great.
But hey, more the merrier.
Yes, absolutely. So how do you collaborate with the various academic institutions then and the member companies? Because I suppose each member company will have different circumstances and different needs and requirements. So, how do you sort of join up the best or the most appropriate or aligned training for that business with, the sort of young learners? And at the same time, I suppose you've got to, meet all the usual industry standards and needs and everything else. So, it's a bit of a jigsaw going on.
Yeah, and it's just about being there to help the members, basically holding their hand through the process. I'm not holding their hand very tightly because there's enough of them. But it's being an extra pair of ears, an extra sound, sound block off, and just being, you know, okay, well, if this person who's a similar size does a similar thing to you, what did they do that you would help you? I have found that everybody that I've spoken to who is a member are lovely, and no one, and everyone is willing to help each other out, and that's really, really wonderful. And I mean, one of the things I'm doing this month's project, I'm going to Scorpion next week, I'm going to Adelphi in a couple of weeks, is filming case studies. So filming the apprentices, both now and former, and filming the employers, filming the bosses, because from the apprentices I want to know, how did you become an apprentice, what made you become an apprentice, and the process for that. So that'll be for our young people, that'll be on TikTok but also on LinkedIn, but that will mostly be there. For the bosses, I want to know, what made you choose to have an apprentice, what made you come to that decision to get one, how did you financially come, like, make that happen, and also the step-by-step process that they did to get that young person. And that is going to be all on our resource center on our website. And I think that's going to be so helpful to a lot of our members, but not just our members, but also beyond, because some things in that process are not clear. And that is often the stumbling block for a lot of members and a lot of people, is they just kind of see all these things on the government website, and they're just like, what? I need what? And I need this and that. And it just gets overwhelming. And a lot of our companies are obviously very small. They're probably two or three people. And they don't have the time. They don't have the time to go, oh, I need this, I can't be bothered now. You know, but if they knew about it beforehand, then they're able to plan accordingly. And so that's what I want to do.
So the case studies and these sort of videos, they're going to be really impactful. I think they're almost like a living, breathing advert, aren't they, for what a successful collaboration looks like between a member company, the youngsters, and Automate Best. So, and it's going to be fun to go through that process, right? Your member companies and some of the apprentices will be absolutely in bits, you know, watching you carrying on behind the camera, making everybody laugh and forget what they're supposed to be saying. So
pretty much.
What a great gig. I mean, that's got to be one of the fun parts of your role. It's an important part, don't get me wrong, but it sounds like a really rewarding remit that you've got there.
I'm very lucky in the fact that when I joined, the job description role was very vague because...
Blank piece of paper, was it?
Almost, because the trustees did not know what it would entail. And I think they acknowledged that it depended upon the person that they brought on. Luckily or unluckily for them, I don't know, they brought on a real jack of all trades that can do a lot of things in a very short space of time. I can juggle a lot of things, and I can spin a load of plates while juggling, and it's kind of, the role has evolved even in the first couple of months, it's not unknown that at the beginning it was a bit like war on both sides, because you got to think like that for the Fab Five, this was their baby, this was their little nutmeg, and you know, all of a sudden, you know, I come rocking in, obviously not quiet, and I'm just like, we need to do this, we need to do this, we need da 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 da, and they were like, whoa, what we're doing, what, why, like a lot of it was why.
They weren't quite ready for Charlie by the sounds of it.
Absolutely not. And even now, we're 8 months in, they're still not ready.
Right.
Sometimes yeah, they're like, that. Oh my God, slow down.
Yeah.
But what it has done is it's created opportunities that we didn't know were even possible. Like the Best Club.
Yeah.
That was something that was brought out because I started to visit members, and the members were saying to me, we don't, apart from you giving us money, we don't see anything else that's going on there. And I know Peter and I, who's the CEO of Automate UK, we are trying to make like apprenticeship groups happening and things like that. So we already had that in the thought pattern way back at the beginning. And so I was like, well, what's an immediate thing that I can do that can get this apprentice from Southampton and this apprentice from the Midlands to interact?
Yeah.
Well, let's invite them to shows. Let's have them volunteering at shows. They're not only representing their own companies, but they're also representing Automate Best and Automate UK.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And they are the greatest. They're just the best representatives that you could ever ask for. They are great ambassadors. They are very eloquent.
Yeah.
And I mean, I do have some of them. I do have monikers for. So at Huxley Bertram, they're called the HB3. They come as a trio, and they've done quite a few videos for me. I literally, they'll come to a show. I'll give them my phone, and off they'll trot and go do that. Obviously, we have Catherine. We've got the Festo crew. We've also got the Sycamore lot, you know, getting more involved. And that part of Best is growing just as rapidly as the everything else, which to me, as somebody who's obviously, you know, when I was being interviewed, they said, are you okay with not being as involved in young people's lives? You might be a bit more of a back seat, you might be in the office a bit more. And I said, yeah, well, that's fine. I said, that's fine. I'll tell you why, because I, even if I'm just giving them the money, that's a stepping stone on their path to wherever they're going. So
Absolutely.
I'm just giving them a little helping hand on that little stepping stone. So now I've technically proved them wrong and made it in a way, and made that kind of Best Club be something that is not just a sort of advertising project, which is basically, you could argue, is what it is. But what it is Southampton, Midlands, Wales, doesn't matter where you come from in the country, you come and help us out at the shows, you meet each other, they talk about what they do, and all of them are like, I didn't even know that was a thing. I didn't know that existed.
So there's a lot of collaboration and sharing ideas and challenges and wishes and curiosity and all that sort of good stuff.
Yes, and we get a lot of people at the shows, because literally people will come to us at shows and I'm like, here, hi, I'm Charlie, I'm from Automate Best, I'm the project manager, but here's the people you really want to meet. And I'll say it as quickly as that, because it doesn't, I don't matter, I'm just the person pushing these guys in front, and they'll do a roll call of who they are, what they, and that's has been the most positive thing, is, you know, industry professionals going, it's really lovely to see young people from lots of different things interacting, and you know, being in little groups and talking amongst themselves, and they'll go around in groups in the shows, and then they'll go and meet, network, and I'm just so proud.
That's where the magic's happening.
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely. So tell me about some of the biggest challenges that you face in managing these programs then. I'm sure there may be some, but it sounds like you've got pretty much most things well under control. But are there any things in particular that are more challenging than others?
I thought you were going to say challenges of managing the Fab Five, which would also be a valid question.
That might be a whole new podcast in itself.
They would love that. Challenges is opening people's eyes to what's out there.
Because
I've not come from the industry, but what I have learned is, even in the short space of time, is how much things change so quickly.
Sure.
And how much technology changes, and how much things evolve. Now, obviously, I come from an academic background, obviously from teaching, but also I'm currently doing my master's as well. So I'm in academia right now.
Yeah.
And I full well know that academics are always 5 years behind, always, because they've got to get the data, they've got to get the case studies, they've got to get the knowledge to then, ta-da, this is what now we're going to teach everybody. So it's really exciting for me to see, for example, automation is now going to take a bit more of a forefront. Also, educating people on automation is not going to take people's jobs, people. It's not going to do that. The amount of conversations I've had to have with people about that, I'm like, who's manning the robot? Who makes the robot? Like, it's who codes it? Like, it's not going to take one person moving that creates like 10 jobs behind it. And I think, yeah, a lot of people I have found they get stuck in their ways. Very certain views, not just my trustees. I love them very much. But also within the industry themselves, the cell, everyone's a bit stuck, everybody's thing. So I never go in and say, I think you should do this because that's not my place. And I'm not in a position to say that. I can only go, well, from what I see, as somebody complete outsider, maybe you should try this. Maybe you should look into this, or maybe this. And that seems to have worked so far. I've not had anyone tell me to be quiet or anything so far.
Well, you're doing a fantastic job, and there's lots of things in the pipeline. I know, most of it we probably can't talk about, in this particular podcast. But I've had conversation with James Callsbrook, your chairman, and Peter Williamson, and George Thompson at Barra. There's so much stuff. It's a really exciting time for Automate UK as a whole, and I was really pleased when you said you could come on the podcast and talk about BEST, because I've done a number of podcasts over the last couple of years on STEM and training and apprenticeships and stuff like that. I did one the other day with an apprentice or a degree apprentice from Leonardo, and I haven't done that before. My guests are normally either sort of manufacturing and engineering and leaders, or sort of people from trade associations, or industry experts that can give insights on different challenges and opportunities in the sector. But I think particularly with the I think there has been a dip, hasn't there, over the last sort of couple of years in terms of overall apprenticeships intake nationally. And I think because we've got so much opportunity in the UK to get back to being a really, really strong manufacturing nation. There's jobs in abundance. There's a skills gap, and it's all about the young people. I know we are living a little bit older these days, but not that much that people are going to be in their job for like 90 years. So we need fresh talent coming through. So I'm always really keen to try and promote the notion of apprentices. Particularly into engineering and manufacturing. So
Yeah, and it's important to note that, I mean, I'm from South London. There is no manufacturing around here. I cannot stress enough that none of us knew this industry existed. And, now I go into schools and I'm like, right, how do you think you buy a little apple bag of apples. How do you think it gets in the bag? How is that happening? And little tiny kids come up with really random, it's aliens or whatever, and explaining to them that actually it was a machine that I used it for pet food as an example. You fills a pet and it seals it and then cuts off the next one, and they're just fascinated, completely and utterly, like, oh, at just seeing these robots, machines, whether they're the linear robots or like the cobots with the arms. They are absolutely fascinated. And I, even though I'm not the one to be able to be technical about it, I mean, Peter has got used to me going, and he knows exactly what that means because I've forgotten the word for collaborative robot or
That's it.
cobot, but I've forgotten it. So I'll just go, buy me one of those. And he's like, okay, I've got you. But it's all about raising awareness, but also having that conversation, starting that conversation. If it is in the news, let's talk about it. Okay, let's talk about automation. Is it going to take everyone's jobs? Okay, you know, because these conversations that adults have are just the same that kids have. It will just be with different words, but
Yep,
exactly the
absolutely.
same. So that's all it's really about.
And on the on the topic of, you know, kids having that sort of wonder and awe at how things are made, how do apples get in those packages that you see at the supermarket? All I can say is there are an awful lot of programs, YouTube's littered with it for a start. But there are programs on TV that I think all of the schools should be showing kids. I know some of them do. So you've got Inside the Factory, which is hosted by Greg Wallace. And I know Greg Wallace is going to be at PPMA in September. So that was a bit of a coup getting him involved in that.
Really was.
But yeah, I think the schools and parents should be, you know, not force feeding kids this sort of stuff, but you know, I think it's just far too easy in this day and age for parents to just give their kid a little device with an app or a PlayStation or something just so that they can keep their own sanity as a parent. The kids are happy, but I think society's lost that over the last sort of 30, maybe 35 years. And I love computer games. I still play them now with my lad Chris, who's 25. I love gaming. When I've got a bit of time, but I think, you know, that there should be a bit more of an emphasis for parents and schools to be dishing out more intellectually interesting stuff for kids, even at primary school age. You know, get them watching these sort of programs, How's Stuff Made, you know? So lots of opportunity.
I had this conversation with one of our members. They were taking me around the showroom, and I was
Yeah.
like, have you shown these to kids? And they're like, no, we can't have any young people, we can't have kids around here because of insurance. The amount of
Yep.
times I've had the insurance excuse card. And I go, that's really pretty machine. It has wheels. Can it move? And they're like, yeah. I say it doesn't look that big. Can that fit in a van? And they go, yeah, it probably could. I'm like, well, why don't you take that? And it's got a big red button on it, had like really cool lights on it, and it was a conveyor belt. And I was like, well, why haven't you taken that to a school? And they went, well, we didn't think of that.
Businesses engaging with the local community, the local schools. A lot of manufacturers do sort of bemoan the fact that, you know, they can't get people, they can't get decent apprentices, they can't get skills, they can't get this, can't get that. But then, you know, a lot of the time, and I do get it, they are so busy trying to deliver for their customers. And a lot of the small SMEs, you know, if it's only a handful of people there, everybody's got to wear multiple hats. I totally understand that, but somehow all of us in some shape or form, we've all got to still try and make things happen, whether we've got a very, very short bandwidth or availability or not. Sometimes you've still got to try and move the mountain. So if you're not getting the people through the door, you've got to go to the you've got to get out and mix with the parent evenings, the sort of open, you know, have an open day, get out to the schools. So is that something that you're doing as well? Are you sort of working with schools, or is it mainly with the member companies?
So it's definitely something that we've offered to our members if they want additional help with that. We have a possible partnership with somebody in the future, just
Okay.
that will be able to help with that more tailored.
Okay, Charlie, so we're sort of almost at the end of the discussion this afternoon. So my sort of final question to you really is, what advice would you have for any manufacturing business or Automate UK member who might be looking to start or improve their apprenticeship programs or get involved with apprenticeships in the first place?
I hope if nothing else has come from this discussion is just the I'm not scary, guys. I'm not scary. And although this process is very scary, like it can come across as scary, as we've spoken about, you know, the government like to put a lot of obstacles in the way and things like
Yeah.
that. I that may be scary, but I am not. So feel free, like feel free to come and chat about it. Even if you just want to moan about the process, I'm all ears for that. And I so my biggest advice is always to talk to somebody else about it, whether that's me or another member that you know, or somebody else that you know that's in the industry that's gone through it. Or if you don't know anyone and you want to know somebody, well, guess what? I'm the middleman in all of this nonsense. Ask me. I've got a whole bunch of people. Like I think the thing with anything like this, where it's a process and it's a journey, because it's a journey not just for the apprentice but also for the employers as well,
Absolutely.
is that it's not one, it's not on your own, and you'll never be on your own. So, and I don't, you will not have a successful apprenticeship, you will not have a successful apprentice, you'll not have a successful business really if you do things by yourself. Everything is collaborative, and everything, you know, it takes it, what's the phrase when you have a child, is it? It takes a village to raise a child. And it's the same thing with a business. You know, it's not a one person thing. And it's the same with apprenticeship, it's not a one person thing. Everybody has their bit, everybody has their part in the journey. So ask for help, ask for advice. Have a chat to your friend at the pub, or if you're at the golf, if you're so inclined, or football, whatever it is, ask somebody, because somebody, I guarantee you, will know.
Done
And if they don't, they will know somebody else who will know, and they'll just signpost you to that person. So that's probably, yeah, the biggest, and I say, I'm not scary, so you can always come and speak to me. We will have a stand at the PPMA show. And I've got a whole bunch of apprentices that will be coming to help me out. I've got apprentices from Scorpion, SMC, Festo, Sycamore. So we've got a whole, and you know, so you can even talk to real life apprentices about what it's like, how does it work for them? And then our trustees will also be there, because I made sure I booked them in early enough. So they will also be there to offer their words of wisdom, and a lot of them have obviously been through the process themselves, so they will be able to answer your questions as well. And again, if we are not able to answer your questions, I can guarantee you we will know somebody who can. So
Fantastic. So, plenty of people that you can reach out and talk to. PPMA show is on at the NEC, isn't it, in September? September the, what's the actual date? It's the 20,
24th.
24th, 25th, 26th, is it?
26, yeah,
Right, 24th
yes.
to the 26th, September at the NEC. And the website address for Automate UK is.
Or the automateuk.com, and if you forward slash automate hyphen best, you can find us.
Fantastic. There you go. So, lots of help and support readily available. Thank you for coming on. It's been a great discussion. All the very best with your work at Automate Best, and we will see you at PPMA. So, that wraps
Yes.
up another episode of Insights for Manufacturing. Thank you to the listeners. Hope you've enjoyed the show, and we'll see you next time. Bye bye.